Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of our service from last Sunday's worship. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor at the United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. You're always welcome at our Sunday services. Worship at Salem is at 8:30. Sunday school in California is at 9:30 with donuts and juice available in the gym, followed by worship at 10:30. We have a nursery for your little ones. We would be privileged to have you attend our Sunday service as we worship together as one family serving Christ. This Sunday, we continue our sermon series, Word to the Wise, that is looking at the book of Proverbs. This morning, we will look at the gift of godly wisdom in Proverbs chapters 2 through 4 as we honor our 2019 California high school graduates. We encourage everyone to read through the book of Proverbs during the month of May. There are 31 chapters in Proverbs, one for each day of the month for you to read. May God bless you with His mercy and wisdom this coming week. We thank you for listening.
Our special music is by our God Singers, our children's choir. It's entitled Sing, Shout, and Clap. First two scriptures are read by Judy Berger. It's followed by the gospel lesson and his Mother's Day sermon, Word to the Wise, the Eternal Value of Godly Women, by Pastor Cobb.
First lesson comes from Proverbs 31, verses 23 to 31. Her husband is known in the gates. When he sits among the elders of the land, she makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers girdles to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth and with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is in her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hand, and let her works praise her in the gates. Here ends the lesson. The second lesson is from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, as did my fathers, when I remember you constantly in my prayers. As I remember your tears, I long night and day to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you.
Our gospel reading comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 46 through 52. After 3 days, they found him in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. This is a special day. Happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers here and all of our ladies here. We're thankful for all your contributions that you've done for your family, for your church, and your community. We're going to continue our look at the book of Proverbs, and we're going to be in chapter 31 as we honor mothers. It's a difficult task to do a sermon on Mother's Day, especially when your mother's in the crowd. All right, I told all the stories that I didn't want her to hear at Salem this morning. So if you want to know anything more about that, you need to get the tape from the Salem service today. And I'll say all the other stories just for her in this sermon right here. But I'm thankful to have her with us and my Aunt Barbara as well. And all of my daughter, Carrie, being a mom, and of course, Betty and all the girls, and of course, our grandchildren. But we see there in the last few verses of chapter 31, the writer of Proverbs talks about ladies. He says, "Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate." And that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to honor and praise the mothers and the ladies for everything that they've done and for the ones that are here today in our midst. Think about some of the well-known TV moms. For my generation, you know, you might think of Olivia Walton from The Waltons. Her character was based on Earl Hamner, the writer of The Waltons. It was based on his mother, Doris. She was the mother of eight. She was a strong Baptist lady that instilled her faith in her children and eventually in her husband. The story is a lot like what happened on the show itself. You might think about Caroline Ingalls on Little House on the Prairie with their daughters and Charles and the little town of Walnut Grove. You might think of Carol Brady. We could all sing the song together. There was a lady. We could do that. You know, the mother of three daughters, stepmom to three sons, and her husband Mike. You might think about Aunt Bee from Andy Griffith. Although she was not Opie's mother, she was very instrumental in the raising of that child and had a lot to do with how well he turned out. You know, when we look at the Bible, there's some examples of good moms and not so good moms. We'll talk about some of the good mothers as we go through the sermon, but a couple of the bad moms to look at. One that I kind of would identify with is found in Genesis 27. Rebekah and Isaac, they're boys Esau and Jacob. And Rebekah tricks Isaac into giving his blessing, not to the oldest child, which is what I am, gave it to the younger brother. I would not be very happy if my brother Alex got the blessing that was deserved for me. But if you look at the verses preceding it, you get a little clue of maybe why Rebekah was more in favor of Jacob just a little bit. It says earlier on that Rebekah had a problem. Jacob and Rebekah had a problem with the wives that Esau had chosen. It says that they caused him many griefs. You know, it seems like in-laws may have been an issue from the earliest of times, but not in my household. I've had the best mother-in-law possible. After the first 10 years, she stopped crying. Things got a lot better. You know, I'd taken her youngest so far away. She was only 19 when we got married. But after she stopped crying those first 10 years, and she got to know me, things have been really good these last 21. But no, she's been wonderful, and I couldn't ask for a better one. But we also see in the Old Testament, King Ahaziah's mother, Athaliah, when he died to save herself, she killed the rest of the family to protect herself, but there was one son that was protected, so she couldn't get to him. Then we see in the New Testament, we see a Herodias. She was married to King Herod, and she had been married to his brother Philip. John the Baptist had preached against that. She didn't like that, so when she got the chance, she encouraged her daughter to ask for the head of John the Baptist as a, you know, kind of a Mother's Day gift. And so, I mean, you know, not a very nice mom there as well. We have some bad moms throughout the history. One's called Ma Barker from, she was born in Missouri, believe it or not, down around Springfield in the 20s and 30s. J. Edgar Hoover called her one of the most devious, vicious, hardened criminals there was. And she had four sons, and as soon as those four sons got out of their diapers, they joined her in the family business. Kidnapping, armed robbery, murder, holding up banks. And when she was killed in a shootout with the police, one of her sons was there with her, and he died, and they had a Thompson machine gun by their side. We also see a lady from England in the late 1800s. Her name was Mary Ann Cotton. She had 13 children. She poisoned 11 of them and killed 11. She killed all four of her husbands. I think by the second or third one, I would have caught on, I think, if I was the fourth guy. But two lovers and plus two others, 21 in total, she poisoned and killed, all for the insurance money before she was arrested and hung in 1873. You know, being a mother is hard. Here's some quotes from a couple people. I like this one. I can identify with it. Buddy Hackett said, "My mother's menu consisted of two choices, take it or leave it." I can identify with it. I can remember some nights sitting at the table and said, "You're going to eat what we gave you." And it would get dark. They would turn off the lights, go do their thing. I would still be sitting there finishing my meal. This one here, Phyllis Diller said, "I want my children to have all the things I couldn't afford. Then I want to move in with them." This one, Jeff Shaw, "When I was a boy, my mother wore a mood ring. When she was in a good mood, it turned blue. In a bad mood, it left a big red mark on my forehead." I'm going to take the fifth on that one. I'm not going anywhere near that one. And then Roseanne Barr, "The way I feel if the kids are still alive when my husband gets home from work, I've done my job." On that one. But here's some inspirational ones. And one of them's outside on our sign. "Mother is the name for God in the lips and hearts of little children," from William Thackeray. And Stevie Wonder said this about his mom. "Mama was my greatest teacher, a teacher of compassion, of love and fearlessness. If love is sweet as a flower, then my mother is that sweet flower of love." Proverbs 23:25 says, "May your father and your mother rejoice. May she who gave you birth be joyful." When you look at chapter 31, we look at 10 through 31, but the earlier verses of chapter 31, King Lemuel wrote this chapter, but his mother's giving him advice. And she's telling him what kind of women to concentrate on and what kind of women to avoid. And in verse 3, she says, "Do not spend your strength on women, your vigor on those who ruin kings." She says, avoid these types of ladies, but concentrate on these ones right here. So what kind of lady, what kind of woman does his mother tell him to focus on? First, the focus on women that are a godly example. When you look at verses 10 through 22, and it starts out there in verse 10, that he calls a wife of noble character. King James calls it a virtuous woman. Hebrew talks, the literal Hebrew translation, is a woman of strength, or a woman that has the strength of a man. So we see a godly example of strength first to her family. Look at verses 15 and 21 in Proverbs 31. Says she gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for them. They all are clothed in scarlet. We see a woman that works hard, that provides for her family. She uses every ability and resource to feed, clothe, and house her children. She loves and respects her husband. And because of all of her efforts and hard work, it reflects well on the whole family and the community. We see in verses 13 and 17 and 18, she works with eager hands, it says. She sets about her work vigorously, and her arms are strong for the task, and her lamp does not go out at night. You know, Betty and I look back over the years, and we wonder how we could get our kids to all the activities and do all the different things and have the energy to do that. You know, Betty would do that. She would come home from work. As soon as she hit the door, she's getting a load of laundry ready. She's getting the meal ready. She maybe even hems a dress or cleans the house or sews a button. And that's the example that mothers set for their children of hard work and sacrifice for their families. When nobody else was there for Jesus at the foot of the cross, who was there? His mother. The only disciple that was there was John, but no other disciples, no other families. And as we saw early from their portrayal of the puppets and the verses that we read, she didn't always understand what Jesus' ministry or what his words meant, but she knew her place was to be by his side in the toughest of times. Someone once said that a mother is someone who sees four pieces of pie with five people at the table and says, "You know, I'm not hungry for pie tonight. Why don't you all enjoy the pie?" That's what we see here in chapter 31 of Proverbs. Children and fathers, read chapter 31 tonight. And in the next few days, and realize how blessed you are to have a mom or a wife that puts her needs before everyone else's, or puts their needs before everyone else's. She is someone that needs to hear the words of praise for her sacrifice. You know, my mom taught school early on in my first few years, but once all three of us boys were born, mom made the decision to stay home and take care of us. She graduated from SMS, or Missouri State, when I was born, and taught for a few years, but then she took a break and resumed her teaching career later. My mom is the oldest of five, and she grew up knowing how to work hard. I've kidded people over the time that my mom's only about 5 feet tall, and it's all mean and tough, but she had to be with three ornery boys and five other kids to take care of when she was growing up. But she taught us all to be tough and determined and to work hard for what we wanted. But see, Betty and I made that same decision as my mom and dad when the girls were young. And when they just started elementary school, she stayed at home with them until they went to school, and then she took a part-time job from 10 to 2 so she could be there when they got on the bus and when they got off the bus, so she could hear their bumps and their bruises or hear their good things about their day. Children bring into their own life more of what they have seen from us than what they are told by us. Someone once said the best place to be famous is in your own home. Second, we see the picture of a godly example of strength to her community. In verse 20, it says there, she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. We see a woman in Proverbs that's involved in her community. It says she bought fields, she sold clothes, she trades, she helps those that are in need. She used her abilities to make a difference with those around her and not just in her family. She would be a mom involved in the PTA or PTO or some booster club. She'd always be there for all of her children and their activities, or she'd be involved in some group that made an impact in the community. My mom has been part of the Heartland Regional Library Board for almost 40 years, or maybe over 40 years. I'm not for sure how long she's been part of it. They serve Miller and Marys County. I know that's where I got my love of reading from, is from my mom. My mom can read 4 to 5 books in 1 to 2 weeks. She'll go to her house and she'll have a stack of books, and she'll get through them in a week or two. I'm not fully convinced she reads every word. I think she's seen every storyline possible. She reads the first couple chapters and then skips to the end. She won't admit it, but I'm sure that there's something to that. But it's amazing how much she reads and how much she cares about other people reading. It says in verse 25 that this lady is clothed with strength and dignity in Proverbs 31. When I think of someone clothed with strength and dignity, I think of Mary Magdalena Runkle. Maggie, as she was known to her friends. She was our neighbor across the street there in Portland, Indiana, and she was an elegant lady. Hair was always just right, always wore a blouse that's buttoned up to her neck, nice dress. She was in her 70s when we first met her, and she had a gentleman caller named Tony that came by every day at 4 o'clock. And when Tony's health failed, Maggie took care of him till the day that he died. She had another gentleman caller that came along later, and she got to know him and took care of him, and when his health failed. And you would have never known that Maggie knew the deepest of woes in her life. She served in her community. She served in her church. She had lost her husband back in 1964. They'd been married 32 years. But the deepest woe that would hit her would come 8 years later. She had 2 sons. Both sons and both daughter-in-laws were killed in the same train car accident in December of 1972. She lost her whole family in one incident. But she didn't let it discourage her. I knew there was pain there, but I would call Maggie a woman of strength. She could have let that painful losses destroy her, but she chose to serve and love those around her. She volunteered at the Red Cross and helped people in their time of need. That is a woman of noble character. That is a lady that lives a godly example to her community. But then also King Lemuel's mother said, you need to look for a lady that gives godly instruction. Verse 26 of Proverbs 31. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. We read of the impact of a mother and a grandmother to Timothy that we just read. And now that their faith became his faith. And we have to look around at all of us, that our faith resided somewhere before it came to us. I've talked to so many people over the years that credit their faith to their grandparents, of them taking them to church. I talked with Chris Berry a couple weeks ago at Rusk Rehab when she was in there following her stay at the hospital. And she said her parents didn't go to church much, but it was her grandmother that made sure that she went to church, and that's where her faith came from. This past Thursday, I visited with Alberta Rich, and she gave me a bag of chocolate chip cookies. And by the way, I'm down to my last cookie, so I'll be back later this week. She told me about how she was raised by her grandparents. When she was 13 months old, her father had already left the scene. Her mother died when her sister was 6 weeks old, and she was only 13 months old. But her grandparents took her in and made sure that they went to church every Sunday. And when they couldn't go to church because of their failing health, they found a way for her to be in church with her sister. They read scripture in front of her and prayed before every meal and before they went to bed. And she credits her strong faith today because of those grandparents. And she prays before every meal. She has her Bible next to her chair in the living room, and she is in church every Sunday she is able because of that faith that was instilled to her by her grandparents. Dave Thomas, the founder of Wendy's, wrote in his book, Well Done, which I really like the title of that. He said, when I was 11 years old, my adoptive grandmother took me to Michigan's Gull Lake to be baptized by immersion. I really felt that I was accepted by God when I was baptized. But what I remember most about my baptism was that my grandma Minnie made it happen. For her, Christianity meant more than doctrine you talked about on Sundays. It meant teaching her grandson about faith. See, that is what our children are looking for in mothers and parents. That is what the world around us is looking for in Christianity. They are looking for real faith that makes a difference in our daily lives. Being in church should be a top priority. Betty speaks at being at her church anytime the doors were open. And they lived 30 minutes away from church. But they just didn't talk the talk. They walked the walk. And that's why all five of those children are faithful in their church attendance every Sunday today. They saw it modeled not only on Sunday, but on Monday through Saturday as well. And that's a tradition that's set for your future generations. We see later on in 2 Timothy the impact that Lois and Eunice had on Timothy, that they read scriptures to him from the time that he was born, it says. And the reading of scripture and Bible stories is instrumental in establishing the faith for our children, modeling and showing our children the power and relevance of scripture in every day. I talked to a family recently that is building a house, and before they put the drywall and did all the work there, they wrote Bible verses on the 2x4s and on the frame of their house to let God know that this house may be built physically, but it's being built spiritually as well. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. We also need to teach them how to pray. This was my prayer for my daughters when they went to school. God, protect their hearts, their minds, and their bodies from evil. They are your lights in a dark world. Protect them and use them. And we still pray for our kids every day for protection, but we also pray that they're training their families in righteousness. Abraham Lincoln said this about his mother's prayers. I remember my mother's prayers and that they've always followed me. They have clung to me all my life. We see Hannah praying for her son Samuel and dedicating him to the Lord. My daughter Carrie will talk often about her stay in the hospital, about waking up and seeing her mother pray at the foot of her bed after her accident. That's made an impact on her. And I know my Aunt Barbara's here today. She prayed for us three boys faithfully, and I think that's why we've turned out the way that we have. Whether good or bad, I don't know. We're all Cowboy fans, aren't we? So you blame that on her if you don't like that. But every time she talks to me, she tells me she loves me, and she tells me that she prays for me every day. And finally, the woman that King Lemuel's mother tells him that he needs to look for is one that displays godly beauty. Verse 30 says, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Every commercial, every ad about weight loss or cars or anything have beautiful people by the world standards promoting them. I wish they would just pick me or people like me to promote. I see how many cars that they could sell then. Let me wear a cap and a t-shirt. See how many things we could sell. But they're trying to tell us that we need to look a certain way in our world. Peter talks about the beauty that we need to have. He says, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Everyone, I've got three daughters. I know about outward adornment, okay? There's a stretch when we went to 10 proms in a row, all right? I know about outward adornment. I know that the day of prom does not start at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Oh, no, it starts at 8 o'clock in the morning, all right? We got to get our hair done, our nails done. We got to get the dress done this way. We got pictures at home. We got pictures at their house. Picture at Shelters Gardens. Picture when they actually walk into the prom. So they need to capture all of their beauty. Believe me, I know about outward adornment. But I always told my girls then and whenever they were on court warming or homecoming court that they were beautiful. I didn't need voting or judges to confirm or not confirm this. They were beautiful to me no matter, because I knew they loved the Lord and were following Him. When you read those verses in chapter 31 of Proverbs, you see a woman that's probably sweaty. She's probably wore out most of the time. Her hair's probably put back with a strand sticking out. She's focused on her family and on their well-being. In fact, in verse 16, it says she plants a vineyard, so she probably has some dirt underneath her fingernails. She works days and nights. She's not one of these ladies from one of those shows that I click through, the Housewives of Beverly Hills or New York, whatever it is. This Proverbs lady would take them outside and teach them a thing or two about what kind of a lady that they should be. Peter isn't saying that ladies shouldn't wear jewelry or have pretty hair. He is saying they should complement the beauty already inside them. Your external beauty shouldn't be your only beauty, is what he's saying. The King James calls the inner self that hidden person of the heart. We hear people say from time to time they were beautiful inside and out. That's what Proverbs and 1 Peter are saying about ladies. I love a story in Matthew chapter 8 about Peter's mother-in-law. She's sick. Jesus comes and touches her, and she gets up, and her first response is to start waiting on other people. You know, I'd be wanting to take a breath, make sure everything was all right, but she's already serving people. That reminds me of my Aunt Betty. She never brings attention to herself, but she's always in the background taking care of things, cleaning up, sweeping floor, washing the dishes, looking after the needs of others time after time. That's what the writer of Proverbs is saying. That's the kind of beauty that God values. Verse 10 started off with a question. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. In Ruth, it says the same thing about Ruth, that she was a woman of noble character. You know, Ruth wasn't married at the time, but she had shown a devotion to her mother-in-law, a faithfulness to God in the midst of the loss of her husband. Esther wasn't a mother, she was queen, and she was put in a place to make a difference and influence. We do honor mothers today because of the title given to this Sunday, but we also honor all women because of the influence they can have on whether married or a mother or single. I think of the ladies beside my mom who've been influential in my life. I think of Anna Mae Dukeman from 9th Street Christian Church. Never married, taught school all of her life, taught in our Sunday school. She gave me the minister's manual and the communion set that I use throughout my ministry when I deliver home communion. I think of my good friend Benita Bond, Anna Mae's niece. She followed her aunt into the teaching field and so wanted to marry and have children. But when that dream didn't work out like she planned, she decided to foster children and finally adopted two children as now the grandmother that changed the eternal destiny of children that came from broken homes. Thank you, ladies, for making a difference with your lives, in your own family, in your church, and in your community. Without the involvement and efforts of our ladies, our church would not be what it is today. I know many here, your moms are no longer with you, but you're continuing their legacy of making an eternal difference to those around you. That is why we echo the words of Proverbs 31. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. We honor and praise all of our ladies here this morning. Our hymn is hymn number 27, and the reason I chose it, I know it's giving glory to God, but I also want it as a second part that we're giving glory to our ladies here today and saying how great they are as well. So let's stand and sing hymn number 27.